Hello and welcome to this PSG Think Big series podcast. In this program, Alicia Seckham speaks to Sipho Mosai, the chief executive of Rand Water, on the sustainability of water supply in Gauteng.
Hello and welcome to the Think Big series brought to you by PSG. I'm Alicia Seckham. Well, let me tell you, open up access to the CEO of Rand Water and the questions flood in. Very much a feature of taps running dry, right? Aging infrastructure, high water consumption and intermittent supply have left Gauteng's residents worried about a day zero scenario as Rand Water deals with the interplay of factors threatening the stability and sustainability of water supply in Gauteng, not least of which financial strain due to non-payment from municipalities. So today, we're tackling the Think Big conversation a little differently, lifting as many of the questions that came through from our registered audience as we possibly can. Sipho Mosai is, of course, Group Chief Executive at Rand Water. Sipho, great to have you join us in conversation today. And as you can imagine, the questions have been aplenty. We have lots to get into, but I think important right at the top to make the distinction when it comes to who's responsible for what. So what sits in Rand Water's purview versus the responsibility that rests with the various municipalities?
Yes, thank you, Alicia, and thank you for the platform to showcase water issues, particularly here in Gauteng and the four provinces that we supply water with here in South Africa. I think just in terms of the water supply value chain, in essence, it's fragmented into three portions of water provision. Or segments, if you like, and that in essence is given effect by our constitution in terms of who's responsible for what, and therefore, you know, where does accountability sit with respect to water provision, particularly here in Gauteng. So at the top of the water supply value chain, in essence, we have what called the Department of Water and Sanitation as the custodian of all water resources. All the water in South Africa, in river bodies, in the dams, belong to the government. It's a national asset. And therefore, in terms of our constitution, the custodian of all these resources is within the ambit or responsibility of the Department of Water and Sanitation, which is our federal government, if you like, or our national department. The Department of Water and Sanitation, therefore, has got the responsibility to protect this resource, but most importantly, to, if you like, build the infrastructure related to, you know, impounding the surface water. We are solely reliant on, mainly reliant on surface water in South Africa, and then they build the dams, what you call reservoirs in other, in other countries. So they are responsible for that. Then we as then as what you call water services providers, we buy this water that has been impounded from the dams. We purify it in bulk. That is why we are called bulk water service providers in large quantities. So we build the resource, there is infrastructure, the purification works, the pipes, the pump stations, and the large quantity reservoirs where we store clean and purified water. And this water, we then sell it to the municipalities. And the municipalities, they have then distribution outfits or institutions or standalone entities that distribute that. So if you like, the department is responsible for the resource. We buy it, we purify it in bulk, and we sell it to the municipalities. The municipalities have got constitutional responsibility to supply water to the municipalities, and our relationship with them is that of a bulk water supply agreement, and they choose who they can work with. And in Gauteng instances, we are a preferred service providers to provide them with bulk and clean drinking water.
Got you. And just to make it clear, I mean, you're responsible then for managing and maintaining your network of pipeline that delivers this bulk supply, while you've got municipalities, going on to distribute that through their own infrastructure to end users. That said, Sipho, Rand Water ultimately the one catering to this increased demand, right? We've got daily water usage having surged to 290 litres per person, and that's well above global norms, threatening water, a water system collapse as aging infrastructure comes under pressure. You've launched your own maintenance program, and it's triggered disruption and a lot of frustration, which we'll get into in a little bit. But right at the top, how much of the water crisis we face and, you know, the risk of system collapse is what you're busy with at the moment actually solving for?
You're quite right, Alicia. What we're busy at this point in time, it's ensuring that we avoid what they call bulk water crisis. I think if you come into South Africa, people talk about water crisis and they just leave it there. They don't contextualize it, all right? We don't have a bulk water crisis. And the numbers that you have presented now demonstrate that what we as a bulk utility are putting into the system is way above the world average. So if we had the bulk supply crisis, we'll not be coming anywhere close to these numbers. So to contextualize what we are doing within understanding of our responsibility, ours is to operate, maintain, upgrade, and refurbish our bulk infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so we have what we call life cycle asset management strategy. This model, it's a well articulated and well understood model from infrastructure management point of view that dictates on how and when do we upgrade and maintain, and the philosophies of proactive maintenance to ensure that we don't have a collapse of the bulk infrastructure. So the maintenance that we're doing now, it's exactly that, because listen, this is we're talking mechanical, electrical infrastructure. Like we use an example of a car here in South Africa. You just don't run your car forever. Periodically, you have to proactively maintain it. That's what we are doing. It's something, in my view, that should be commended, where we are going into our infrastructure to ensure its resilience, we are maintaining. And unfortunately, as we do so, we have to take certain systems out.
I'm sorry to interject here, but, you know, I think residents accept, Sipho, that maintenance must happen, you know, but the frustration is real, where we've seen complaints mounting about poor communication and management, prolonged outages and poor quality water where it is available. And that, you know, is what's raising questions around this development plan. So I guess bottom line, the question is, why is execution proving to be so difficult? What's causing the long delays, the poor communication and the lack of effective backup plans?
I don't agree with you. And certainly that's not the feedback that we are getting. If you look at my maintenance program here, and I can take you through it one by one, all the maintenance schedules were completed on time. In fact, I just got a feedback now that the ones that we said we'll complete today, we have completed today. So if we go back and then we do this on a yearly basis, including the December ones, that's completed on time. So I think, firstly, I think it's incorrect to start saying it's prolonged. Is completed on time. The challenge that I would agree that the people are facing is the system recovery. For example, if we say we are starting maintenance on the 15th, what you will inevitably see is that people do not run out of water on the 15th because there's still water in the system. So when we say we are complete because they started seeing the impact on the 16th, when you are complete on the 18th, water doesn't work like electricity. When you say it's completed, it's in your house. The system takes time to recover. Depending on where you are, it varies. Some get water immediately, low-lying areas. Some it can take a week. And I just think this is what the frustration is. How do we make the system recover quickly? If we had our way, we would recover the system immediately for everybody. And it takes time. And our communication throughout has been very clear that it will take time for the whole system to recover. The second area where I completely disagree with you, and it must be based on facts. The quality of water that we supply is not only ISO standard compliant in South Africa. We compare our water and with the World Health Organization standard, and nobody says that. We check it against EPA standards in the US and so on and so forth. So it's also misinformation of a proportional degree to start saying people are complaining about the quality of water that we supply. I think you need to look at something else, but we supply some of the best drinking water in the world. And then we can check with even global institutions like GWIO in terms of the independent work that they have done in terms of the quality of water that we have supplied. I think we agree. The frustration is people want water all the time.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
want the system to recover quickly, and that we understand and we share their sentiments. Communication, we are on all platforms. We have dedicated water channel on WhatsApp. We are updating the system every day. In fact, the feedback that we've gotten from the people that you indicated that you are speaking on their behalf is that our communication has improved and is better, but there's always room for improvement.
So where you said in that answer, you know, we've got to look at something else. Is there possibly then a break and a disconnect between what you're able to do and bring online versus the pick up and follow through then at the bottom end of that value chain via the municipalities themselves? Is that what we need to start looking a little bit more carefully at?
I think the distribution network challenges have been clearly articulated in various documents that we have in South Africa. What the Department of Water and Sanitation produces, independent of us and the municipalities, are what you call North Drop, Green Drop, and Blue Drops reports. These, they go into the entire value chain. They then try to pull out where the challenges are. It's a well-known and clearly understood challenges that at the distribution level, we have high water losses. There's an aging infrastructure. It's not me saying that, but it's in this report. We also have national water resources strategies that we produce every 10 years, clearly demonstrates that there are challenges there. And it's not going to help anybody to play as if there are no challenges. There are challenges. And then we have various structures that we have put in Gauteng at a political level, driven by the MEC, the Premier, to turn that situation around. And all the municipalities have acknowledged that the non-revenue water is high. We need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And that's what people feel. People feel like, okay, there is water into the system, but I am sitting here, I don't have water. They look across, they see a lot of water loss. These are the challenges, Alicia, that need to be attended to. And we have also taken an active role to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
That is why we have established special purpose vehicles with our municipalities, so that we're not sitting and say the problem is there, it's not here. We want to be part of the solution. We are partnering with them. We are meeting with them on a daily basis, because people sometimes don't understand the difference between Joburg water, Rand water. And we have taken upon ourselves to be solution driven, to be part of the solution. And in Emfuleni, we have a special purpose vehicle where we have come together with the municipality. We are taking these things, a non-revenue water, aging infrastructure, holistically, both water and sanitation, so that people feel the experience that there is change, and that change, it translates into water coming out of their taps all the time.
Yeah. Sipho, you know, what you've reiterated there and underlined is the fact that Rand Water is committed to working with municipalities to find solutions, to the current challenges that are threatening a resilient and a stable water supply network. I've got to ask you, how are things going? Are the municipalities lifting and acting on those recommendations that you have tabled? And why I ask you that question is because, we've had many viewers write in with a simple question. Why are municipalities that repeatedly fail to pay and fail to deliver still being trusted to manage critical parts of the water supply chain?
Yeah, I think the what you will have seen, Alicia, if you have a discussion with our Director General at the Department of Water and Sanitation, is to change all that. We are reviewing many pieces of legislation. If we are in Water Services Authority, and then we have been entrusted with the responsibility to carry out that mandate, and you are no longer able to do it, you're going to be put aside. You're going to remain a Water Services Authority, but you're not going to be a Water Services Provider. To the questions and the concerns that the questions that you've been receiving, to that point, what government is saying, we're going to have to change that. We're going to have to say, if you're a municipality, you are struggling with water services provision, it's not going to be given that you're going to be Water Services Provider. That is going to be taken away, is going to be given to a different entity. That can be another municipality, that can be a district municipality or local municipality that's capable of doing that. It can be given to a water board, it can be given to a private sector institution. And that is a part of the reform that we are putting in place. As we say, we have already started in south of Johannesburg, in Emfuleni, where we are coming in and being a service provider. The municipalities as an authority, and then that will change. So that will change. It will not be a foregone conclusion that you're a municipality, you have to carry out this function. So legislatively, it's going to be enabling for people to start saying, my municipality is not living up to what is expected to do in terms of the water service development plan. That must change. The legislation is going to be enabling going forward.
Yeah. Does the same hold true if they don't get their finances, and especially what's due to you as Rand Water, organized and sorted out? Because, you know, yes, you've got budget coming in from the Department of Water and Sanitation. But while that happens, Sipho, municipal debt to Rand Water has exploded. I mean, it's risen from 1.5 billion Rand in 2015. It's sitting at over 8 billion. And that was, I think, by the third quarter of the 2024-2025 period. So, you know, how's that impacting Rand Water's financial health and ability to invest continuously in infrastructure?
Alicia is putting a serious strain on our ability to function going forward. I think we're still fine for now. We are able to raise capital in the marketplace, but in the long term, it's a matter of serious concern for us. And part of why we welcome these reforms is precisely because these reforms are geared towards ring-fencing all the funds related to water and sanitation for water and sanitation. What we've seen in some of the municipalities is that you find that their water entities within the municipalities are highly profitable. They generate enough revenue. They can be able to pay the bulk water to rainwater. But because money has no color in the municipality, you'll find that water and sanitation revenue is used for other services that have nothing to do with water and sanitation in those municipalities. And therefore, the municipalities don't pay for bulk water. With these changes, particularly with what we are now implementing as a new model, the money that comes from water and sanitation will be refunded for water and sanitation. And what will then turn the situation around is that the money that the municipalities collect from consumers for water and sanitation will then go for bulk water provision and services that are related to that, including the upgrade, refurbish of, as you mentioned, the aging infrastructure in that part of the value chain. It will be reinvested. Yeah. So I know of municipalities that are saying, listen, we are profitable, but that money goes for other waters, for other services other than water in those municipalities. So these structural changes that we are putting in place holistically in the entire value chain will go a long way addressing issues of debt owed to water boards, specifically rainwater in that. So we remain bullish about these changes.
Okay, so you're confident that with this plan that you've now got in place, that you will be able to recover what's owed, especially considering, Sipho, what you highlighted a short while ago, that, you know, non-payment for water you know, has come through on account of non-water revenue as well, which would make it a bit tricky to hold municipalities accountable for. So how are you managing that?
I think that's a good question. Part of what we're trying to do with these special purpose vehicles that we are driving in our area of operation is to invest in the infrastructure. When we invest in the aging infrastructure, it means we are eliminating non-revenue water. So we're going to be going there, mobilizing resources, to a certain extent exposing our balance sheet, and then we have private sector that is also excited, so we're going to be having a lot of partnerships. We're going to be mobilizing resources to firstly invest in infrastructure to deal with non-revenue water, so that water goes to where it needs to go and then revenue comes through. So part of these interventions is just not to ring-fence the revenue, but to invest into the infrastructure, aging infrastructure that has led to this high non-revenue water. And, you know, the business model then says you are now able to sell water, and that water that comes through, you are able to pay for bulk. So I think the intervention is just not ring-fencing for the revenue and you leave everything as is, but it talks about investing in the distribution infrastructure and ensuring that we deal with non-revenue water, we have storage capacity, and we implement water conservation and demand management measures, and we don't have water running around the streets.
So Sipho, while you've got this focus on getting existing aging infrastructure to the state that it needs to be in order to cater to this increasing demand, how much being invested in new capacity and infrastructure?
I think the if you look at what we are investing in the next 5 years from the bulk point of view, we're talking 40 billion rand or so, parts of that. And I think it will be on a case-by-case for each and every municipality. So life cycle asset management model talks about not only the refurbishment, the maintenance, the fixing, but the upgrading and the meeting the future demands. As we do so, we are also upgrading, for example, wastewater treatment works in municipalities funded by the Department of Water and Sanitation in Yenfuleni. We build a 50 megaliter a day wastewater treatment works. So you're right, Alicia, we're not going to be simply looking at maintenance, but we also be looking at future demands. As you all know, that we are a fast-growing economy, and the demand for water also goes with that.
We will be a faster-growing economy, which is going to mean then even increased demand pressure as we get things going more sustainably, so on a longer-term basis, which then throws the spotlight, Sipho, on how do, you know, we move from reacting to emergencies to proactively maintaining infrastructure before failure and putting a focus on a longer term strategy, right? So I've got to ask you, as we start to wrap this conversation up, what does success look like for Rand Water by the end of 2025? And what should the public be holding you accountable for 1 year out from here?
Yeah, I think it's quite exciting period. We are about to close we are closing the financial year and July. We just closed financial year in July. We are wrapping up. And then I think the prognosis looks good in terms of our ability to add more water into the system. You'll recall this time last year, we added about 150 million liters of water into the system. Mm. We're going to be adding an additional 450 million liters of water into the system, which will, in a period of about 2 years, we'll have added 600 million liters of water, bulk water, into the system. So I think the prognosis looks good in terms of at least at the bulk level, that should be giving people comfort that going forward, we're going to be adding water. We are already now, this is 2025 to 2026, we are talking meeting the demands of 2031 in terms of the bulk water provision into the system. And for those that invest in rainwater, we're still maintaining the GP margins and NP margins. I cannot disclose those numbers now, but it's looking good. All we need to do as a country is to focus on the distribution, and in the future looks rosy.
And hopefully, you know, this confidence that you're putting through and the work that you're doing on the back end starts filtering through, as you say, through the distribution center. Hopefully we start to see those that are then providing to the end users being held more so to account, so that we get the entire value chain working as effectively as it should be. Sipho, thanks so much for having joined us in conversation today. That's where we're going to leave it for this episode of the Think Big series. Sipho Maseyi is, of course, Group Chief Executive of Rand Water. And to our viewers, remember, the series is free, it's shareable, whether you're a PSG client or not. So do keep the conversation going. For now, from me, Alicia Seckham, it's goodbye.